what the world is lacking is the peace of God. And I want to talk to you today about that peace. I want to draw your attention. You know, as ministers, we used to say, if you'll turn in your Bibles. Today we'll say, if you'll turn in your cell phones to Isaiah 9:6. Thank God for the Bible app. Isaiah 9:6. You know, this verse of Scripture appears on Christmas cards. Particularly this time of year, I see this verse a lot. And, you know, it really tells us a lot about the very person of Jesus Christ. And this is what it says, Isaiah 9:6. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder. One day he's going to rule the nations. How many of you can say, thank God? Amen. One day he's going to rule the nations. The government will be upon his shoulder worldwide. And his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Jesus Christ is the Prince of Peace. Jesus made the peace. He is the peace, and he offers peace. Through the very person of Christ, we can have peace when our hearts are troubled, hurt, confused, if we have turmoil, if we are drained of hope, if we are facing a crisis. Wherever we are in this journey of life, his peace is available. Can I get an amen to that? Thank God that he is the Prince of Peace. So I want to expound on that today, because this verse of Scripture is so wonderful. It's a powerful promise, and it really tells us of the various attributes of Jesus Christ, his characteristics of his nature, of who he is. And as the Bible says here, he is the Prince of Peace. He's the Prince of Peace. So I want to just talk about that today. I want to expound some things from God's Word. And when we leave here today, I think we can leave here with the perfect peace of God that passes all understanding. The Bible says it passes all understanding. And we go through things in life where we need peace. We go through adversities. We go through challenges. We face things in this world that we need the peace of God. You know, but the peace of God is not just something that we feel. It is something also that guides us. And Jesus is the Prince of Peace. So the first thing I want to present to you today, the first point that I want to sow in your spirit is this. Is that Jesus Christ is the Prince of your peace. He's the Prince of your peace. What do we mean by that? What we mean by that is this. He is, or he must be, your personal Lord and Savior. See, that's why Christianity stands apart. And I don't even like to use the term Christianity. You know why? Because it's a religious term. And the term Christianity is thrown in with all the other religions of the world. You know, what we are talking about today is the person of Jesus. And what we are talking about today is not a religion. What we are talking about today is a relationship. You know, and that, my friends, is what sets Jesus apart from any other religious leader, any other prophet, teacher. You know, all the religions of the world, that they have their, you know, they have their person, their hero. You know, Jesus stands apart because he is about relationship. So when we say Jesus is the Prince of your peace, he must be your personal Lord and your Savior for each and every one of us. One of the greatest promises that we have in God's Word is that he will never leave us nor forsake us. Now that right there should impart peace. Amen? He will never leave us or forsake us. In times of trouble, He will give us peace. In times of confusion, He will give us peace. In times when we don't know what to do, He will give us peace. If your dreams have been shattered, if your expectations have been dashed, Jesus will give you peace. Thank God. In times of trouble, He will give us peace. He even said that in the Gospel of John. He said, as long as you are in this world, you will have trouble. We will have adversity. But we can triumph over our trouble through the person of Jesus Christ. Thank God for that. That's a promise. It's a promise of God. Because He overcame, we overcome also. And He is the Prince of your peace. Personal relationship. So my friends, do you know Him? If you're here today and you don't know Him, then you can't know peace. Because it is only found in the person of Christ. Let's take a couple of these words in Isaiah 9:6. Let's take that word Prince. It's from this Hebrew word. The biblical definition simply means captain, master, chief, ruler, royalty. Whenever we think of Prince, we're not thinking of Purple Rain. Come on, somebody. Amen? We're thinking of royalty. There is a royal connection. Jesus is the Prince. He is the Captain. He is the Master. He is the Chief Ruler. He is royalty. That's why you go to the book of Revelation and we have this incredible vision when He comes back to earth in His second coming. And it says there's going to be a vesture across Him. And it says, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Hallelujah. Why? Because He is royalty. Thank God. And because He is royalty, if we are in Jesus Christ, then we are destined for the throne. Thank God. And the Bible teaches us that. That one day we will rule and reign together with Jesus Christ. Captain, master, chief ruler, royalty. He is our prince. He is our hero. Or we could say He's our knight in shining armor. Come on, some never thought of that one before, but captain, master, chief ruler, royalty. He is our prince. He is the prince of your peace. Personal connection, personal relationship. That's why Paul said this in the book of Romans. He said that we are heirs of God. I mean, if we just could catch a revelation of that. An heir of God. A joint heir of Jesus Christ. If we could just catch a revelation of that, I don't think our lives would ever be the same. He is the Prince of your peace. Personal Lord. Personal Savior. We are connected in relationship with Him. Then the word peace. This is the second word I want to draw your attention to. Out of Isaiah 9:6. The word peace. It comes from this Hebrew word that is defined this way. A state of rest, quietness, and calmness. An absence of strife. An absence of strife. A perfect well-being. When Jesus went about His earthly ministry, He would pose this question, do you want to be made whole? He said that to more than one person. Wilt thou be made whole? Do you want to be made whole? Jesus makes us complete. He heals us, mind, body, soul, spirit. He makes us completely whole. And that's what this word peace means, a state of rest, quietness, and calmness. I love this definition. An absence of strife. We live in a world where people are strife. There's so much strife. So much anger. Have you noticed the anger that is existing in our world? I mean, the anger. People are just angry. They're angry in the grocery stores. you know, they'll beat you up over a Black Friday television set. To save what? $50? $100? I would pay somebody $100 to go stand in the line for me if I wanted to buy a TV. You know, but people are angry. You know, there's no peace in their lives. There's an absence of strife. I love this. Look at what Jesus says here. John 14:27. He said, I am leaving you with a great gift. Peace of mind and heart. And the peace I give is a gift the world cannot give. So don't be troubled or afraid. I think we ought to just reach your hand toward heaven right now. And just say, right now, I receive that peace. I will not be troubled, and I will not be afraid. Receive that in Jesus' name. Amen. He says it's a gift. How many of you know a gift must be received? We have to receive it. Thank God. He's given it to us. It is a gift. I am leaving you with a gift. Peace of mind and heart. The world can't give it to you. You know why? Because they don't have it. Amen? They don't have it. They can't give you what they don't have. Jesus is the Prince of your peace. Connected to Him in personal relationship. So whatever we go through, He's right there in the midst of it. Let me give you the next thing here. Even in darkness, Jesus gives us peace. I love this verse in the Gospel of Luke chapter 1. Gospel of Luke chapter 1. It says, to give light to those who sit in darkness, verse 79. To give light to those who sit in darkness and the shadow of death, and to guide our feet into the way of peace. This was Zechariah's prophecy about Jesus Christ. To give light to those who sit in darkness and the shadow of death. He wants to shine light into that darkness. But then notice what he says, to guide our life, to guide our feet into the way of peace. Thank God that even in darkness, He gives us His peace. Through the heartfelt mercies of our God, God's sunrise breaks in upon us, shining on those in darkness, those sitting in the shadow of death. He is showing us the way, one foot at a time, down the path of peace. Because God is light. The Bible says this in 1 John chapter 1, verse 5. It says that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. If we say that we know Him, and we walk in darkness, we are lying, and we are not obeying the truth. But if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, the blood of His Son cleanses us from all sin. There's a lot of people that proclaim the light, but not everybody is living in the light. You know, and we are in the world where people are separated from God. You know, they don't have the light. Even Paul said it this way in 2 Corinthians 4:4. He said, if our gospel is hid, it's hidden to those who are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them that believe not, lest the glorious light of the gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. You know, we went to have pictures taken in City Park yesterday. I don't know about you, but I hate that. But my wife commissions me, and I just show up. And she took 473 photos. And I'm like, enough! 473 photos in City Park. But I, by the grace of God, I made it through. Hallelujah. And on our way home, we came, City Park Avenue is under construction, had to take an alternate route. turned on Canal Boulevard. I actually went the wrong way. So then once we got our bearings right, we went down Elysian Fields, came straight. We were just kind of having a joy ride. You ever have a joy ride? Joy rides are fun. So we were having a little joy ride, and we came right up the French Quarter. And you know, when you get to the French Quarter, there are some interesting characters there. You know, so we came up, I don't know if it was Decatur Street or which street it was that we actually ended up coming up towards Canal Street. But I was looking around and people outside of clubs, and, you know, there's people drinking, and of course, there's street performers, you know, guys playing guitars, and, they're trying to survive on the streets, right? You know, they had these little guys, they looked like they were about 10, 12 years old. They were doing a tap dance routine, everybody's out there for part of the action. But, you know, as I looked at the people coming out of the clubs and just some of the people that were just walking, and I just kind of had this thought, you know, of how terrible it is to be without God. You know, because you can see it in their faces, you know. I mean, just lost souls. Lost souls. And then I think of this verse of Scripture, that He gives light to those who sit in darkness and the shadow of death. And He guides our feet into the way of peace. And I just began to really think of how much we should be willing to share this message. Just like in the song we were worshiping God to this morning. You know, God, use my life. I want to be a representative for You. I want to shine the light of Jesus Christ into this world. You know, because even in the darkness, Jesus gives us peace. And all of us at one time were in darkness. Some here today, you may be going through a valley of darkness. You may be facing a trial or a tribulation, and you may not even know the outcome of it. You know, you might still be in that darkness, but rest assured and have this confidence that God says in His Word that He is going to guide your feet into peace. Thank God for that. Thank God for that. All right, here's the next thing, and this is so important right here. See, because peace is in Christ when we are in Christ. I love Romans chapter 5 and verse 1 that tells us this. You know, it just emphasizes, this is the point of origin right here, of peace. It says, therefore, having been justified by faith. Listen to what this says in the Amplified Bible. He says, therefore, since we are justified, acquitted, declared righteous, given a right standing with God through faith, let us grasp the fact that we have the peace of reconciliation to hold and to enjoy. Peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed One. If you are not in right relationship with God, my friends, then you cannot have peace. Because this is the point of origin. This is where it begins. We must be reconciled to God. We have to be justified by faith. We have to have the freedom that our sin is forgiven us. Jesus secured our peace by His substitutionary sacrifice on the cross. And that's why the Bible says, therefore, having been justified by faith. Hallelujah. We have peace with God. At one time, we were broken and separated. And we needed someone to reconcile us and to restore us. And Jesus is the one who did that. When He went to the cross and He died on the cross, He secured our peace. And thank God that we can have the peace of God. We're talking about the peace of salvation now. See, because that's the point of origin. If we don't have salvation, how can we have peace? You can't get it in the world. You can't get it through the accumulation of wealth or the pursuit of things. You can't get it even in relationships. You can only get it in the person of Jesus Christ. We must have the peace of salvation. Just like the great hymn of the faith, "What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus." Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can wash away my sins? What can take away my guilt? What can remove my shame? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. I was watching, I heard about Kathy Lee Gifford. You know, she's a real strong Christian lady. And, you know, her husband, Frank Gifford, the famous sportscaster, died just, I guess it was last year. And, you know, then, of course, in the world of television, how many of you realize that they're dropping like flies out there with this sexual stuff? They're dropping like flies. Now, I'm a little confused about that, because we are in a culture where you can't even go to the grocery store checkout line without being bombarded by the pornography on the covers of Cosmopolitan magazine. And then we expect men to be angels. I'm not justifying it. Please understand, I'm not justifying that behavior. What I'm saying is every man faces that original sin issue in his life. And, you know, there's a book that's been out for quite a while, Every Man's Battle. They even took it a step further, Every Young Man's Battle. They even took it a step further, Every Woman's Battle. It's all a battle. Amen? And we live in a culture that feeds all of that, and then what do people expect? You know, but the bottom line is, all of these men, whether they are sports figures, athletes, journalists, politicians, even preachers, they all need the cleansing of Jesus Christ. It is only the life of Christ operating on the inside that can cancel the bondage of sin. And it's not easy. Even Paul said, he said every day, he said, I die daily. In other words, I have to crucify my flesh. Paul said, I buffet my body daily. A lot of people think that he said, I buffet my body daily. No. He said, I buffet my body. You know what that means? I keep it under the control of the Holy Ghost. That's a daily thing, my friends. That's a daily thing. You know, so all of these men, I mean, their careers are ruined. Their reputations are ruined. You know, Moses said it this way. He said, I would not engage in the pleasures of sin for a season. Because he knew that it's short-lived, and the price that you have to pay. I've quoted this before. I'll quote it again because I think it's so true. Sin will bring you further than you wanted to go. It will make you stay longer than you wanted to stay. And it will cost you more than you wanted to pay. Yeah, I know it's a little cliche, but think of how true it is. Amen. Think of how true it is. What can wash away my sins? If I want the peace of God in my life, I have to be right with God. I have to be right with Him. I have to walk in honor and in integrity before God. I have to do things that are pleasing to the Lord. I remember years ago, I went to, anybody remember Service Merchandise? Used to be right there on the corner of Expressway in Manhattan. I went, y'all remember, anybody remember their system? They had like a tag system, a card system. You know, you go and you get the card, and then you go to the checkout, you know, of the product that you want, and then you pay, and then you go to the conveyor belt, and your product comes on the conveyor belt. It was a unique kind of system. You know, I remember I was just learning to play golf. My father-in-law was teaching me how to play golf, and I wanted to buy me a nice driver. So I went to Service Merchandise. I found a driver that was, you know, it was pretty good, you know, a pretty good driver, not a lot of money, You know, what one of the, I mean, you can spend hundreds of dollars in golf equipment on one club. You can spend hundreds of dollars. Well, I didn't have that kind of pocketbook, and I was just learning. You know, so I went and I bought me a nice driver because I wanted to learn how to hit that golf ball. You know, so I picked up my box, and it was a long box, you know, because it's a golf club. So I get home, I open up that box, and it had two drivers in it. I got two for the price of one. But the conviction of God came upon me. I told my father-in-law, I said, Pop, I said, look, I said, I bought this driver. I said, I got two for the price of one. He said, praise God, one for you and one for me. I said, man, I just don't feel right about this. I said, I got to go back to the store. And I did. I went back to the store. I said, listen, I said, I got to bring this thing back. I said, y'all gave me two for the price. Those people looked at me like I was some weird person. And I said, listen, God, I said, I'm a minister of Christ. You know, I said, God would not allow me to keep this. They said, well, you know, we applaud your honesty. Really? Just kind of a funny story, you know, but we live in a world where people are separated from God, and they live based upon, you know, what they want and what they can achieve and what they can accomplish and what they can build, you know, pursuit of all of these things. But the most important thing is to be in the light of God, to be justified, to have that peace because of what Jesus did. Look at this. Here's another. Let me turn your attention to John 16:33. Here's another great, great verse that Jesus, great word Jesus spoke to us. John 16:33. Look at this. This is one that this is another promise right here. John 16:33. Jesus says this. You want peace? He's giving it to you right here. He says, these things I've spoken to you, that in me, where's the peace? He says it's in your relationship with me, right? These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Amplified Bible says, in the world you will have tribulation, trials, distress, and frustration. Anybody ever have frustration? Yeah. I mean, it's all around us. He said, in the world, you will be frustrated. You will have frustration. But the promise is, he says, that in me, you will have peace. Now, there's a couple of different Greek words for the English word peace in our English Bible. There's another definition for the word peace here in John 16:33. And it literally means to bind or weave together. Now, some of you that may have some sewing skills or crocheting skills, you might understand what this really means. Because when you weave something together, I mean, it's all in one. Is it not? It's all in one, right? Because it is weaved together. So when we are woven in the person of Christ, we have the capacity to walk calmly through trouble. That's what Jesus is promising us right here. But we have to be woven together. That's why he said, in me. As long as you are in this world, you will have trials, tribulation, frustrations, adversities, disappointments, all of those things. But in me, you will have peace. I want to be woven together with Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Woven together. Just like a garment. Just like something that is, you know, in the crocheting world. Woven together. I mean, man, that's an incredible truth. When we are bound together or weaved together, you know, then we walk calmly. Because the peace of Christ is stabilizing us. It's stabilizing us. Thank God that there is a stabilizing force of peace. Let me move on. Let me give you another one. Let's go to Mark's Gospel, chapter 4. Mark's Gospel, chapter 4. Because here's the next point. Jesus speaks peace in your storm. Thank God for that. I love this story in the Gospel of Mark, chapter 4. And we'll pick it up in verse 35. Mark 4, 35. It says, on the same day when the evening had come, he said to them, to his disciples, that is, he said, let us cross over to the other side. Now, when they had left the multitude, they took him along in the boat as he was. And other little boats were also with him. And a great windstorm arose. And the waves beat into the boat so that it was already filling. But I love this next sentence. But he was in the stern asleep on a pillow. I often wonder, was that one of those expensive pillows? Do y'all know they got pillows that cost $200, right? Anybody got one of those pillows? I know Eric's got one. How much you pay for that pillow? $150. You know what kind of fishing rod I could have bought for it? Well, Becky, have you spent $150 on a pillow? Well, let's. Holy Spirit said, stay neutral, boy. Let's move on. Well, I doubt if Jesus had one of those kind of pillows, right? But the Bible says he was asleep on a pillow. And they woke him up and they said, teacher or master, don't you care that we are perishing? Then he arose, he rebuked the wind, and he said to the sea, peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said to them, why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? See, at this point, I don't think they were really woven together yet. It was still a work in progress. They were not woven together. And Jesus begins to speak to this storm. He speaks peace into this storm. The waves are beating into the boat. You might be dealing with some waves that are beating into the boat of your life. You might have the wave of financial pressure today. You might have the wave of sickness today. You might have the wave of rebellion in your family. You might have the wave of stress. You might have the wave of whatever the enemy is stirring up. Because how many of you know the devil is a master at stirring things up? And in the midst of that stirring, Jesus comes and he speaks peace in the midst of the storm. Man, what a great, incredible promise of God. Let me share something else with you. Psalms 107. Look at this. This is a great statement. Psalms 107, verse 29. Look at what it says. He calms the storms so that its waves are still. Just let that soak in for a minute. Whatever you're going through, whatever you're dealing with, Jesus calms the storm and the waves are still. Hallelujah. Thank God. Whatever the enemy stirs up in our lives, Jesus is speaking to that storm. Because remember, he's the Prince of Peace. Hallelujah. He is the Prince. He is the Master. He is the Chief Ruler. He is the Royalty, my friends. Let me go on to the next thing. When you're sinking, he's bringing you through. Do you ever feel like you're sinking? Sinking in debt? Sinking in despondency? Sinking in all these different areas of our lives, just, you know, dealing with so many pressure points, so many stress points. When you're sinking, realize this, he is bringing you through. I love where we pick up in the Gospel of Mark, we read chapter 4, and then we go into chapter 5. And in chapter 5, verse 1, we find the continuation of the story. It says, then they came to the other side of the sea. Hallelujah. They got to the other side. See, when you're sinking, he's bringing you to the other side. When you feel like you're sinking, he's bringing you to the other side. When you think you're sinking, he's bringing you to the other side. You might think you're going over, but if you'll just stick with God, you'll think you're going under, but if you'll just stick with God, he's going to bring you over, my friends. Hallelujah. Because that is who he is. That is what he does. Jesus is always looking to the other side. He's always looking to the other side. The other side represents the destination. The other side represents the victory. The other side represents the purpose of God. The other side represents all that God has for us. So if we could just get our eyes off of this water and off of these waves and realize that when we feel like we're sinking or we're drowning or we're going under, he is bringing us to the other side. Hallelujah. Thank God. Let me give you the last and final thing. Gospel of John chapter 6. See, our destination is determined by Jesus being in the boat. See, a lot of times we leave shore, just like the disciples. They left shore, but Jesus wasn't in the boat. How many times do we leave Jesus out of the boat? Just some food for thought. How many times do we call the shots? How many times do we do what we want to do? But our destination is determined by Jesus being in the boat. Look at what we read here in the Gospel of John chapter 6. It says in verse 16, now when the evening came, the disciples went down to the sea. They got into the boat. They went over the sea toward Capernaum, and it was already dark. Darkness had set in, and Jesus had not come to them. They left without. Could you imagine that? Leaving on a fishing trip without Jesus? Now, I don't know what. It doesn't say they were going fishing. I don't know what they were doing. But they left without him. Then the sea arose. See, when we do things without God, the sea is going to kick up. Come on, somebody. Amen? It's going to stir up. They got in the boat. They went over toward Capernaum. Then the sea arose because of a great wind. So when they had rowed about 3 or 4 miles, they saw Jesus walking on the water and drawing near the boat, and they were afraid. But he said to them, it is I, do not be afraid. Notice what it says next. Then they willingly received him into the boat. And immediately the boat was at the destination. Now think about that. Just think about that for a second. How many times do we make financial decisions? How many times do we make decisions about, you know, this relationship or that relationship? How many times do we pray about who we marry? How many of you know you should really pray about that one? A lot of people pray about the saints. Right? But I mean, really, whether they win or lose, I'm still going to have dinner at night. Right? If they go to the playoffs or not, I'll just pull up Jim Moore's video. You know, playoffs. Playoffs. I mean, I love sports. I love to watch it. But I'm not going to let any of that ruin my peace. Thank God. I'm not going to allow the challenges of this life, because Jesus has a destination. And when he is in the boat, oh, thank God, he's not my co-pilot. I see these bumper stickers and these tags, you know, Jesus is my co-pilot. That's bad theology. Because if he's my co-pilot, that means I'm still guiding the thing. Come on, somebody. Right? No, 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 no. He's not my co-pilot. Where did you find that in the Bible? I want him in charge. I want him to take over. I want him, my God, I want him to bring me to the destination that he has determined for my life. I might not even be able to see through the fog. But if I'll just stick with Jesus, he's going to get me through. He's going to get me over. He's going to bring me to the other side. Hallelujah. And it's going to be a time to shout and dance and rejoice because he is King of Kings and he is Lord of Lords. But it brings us to the point of decision. You must receive him into your boat willingly. That's what it says. Willingly. How many of you want to have a new move of God in your life? How many of you are tired of wasting time in the fog? I remember launching our boat. I think Brother Darrell was with me. We went on a fishing trip one morning a couple years ago, and the fog was so bad. We put the boat in the water. We got to the end of the canal. We started going to some of the fish. I mean, we could not even see where we were going. And we just kind of stopped and started and threw our lines in the water. And even in the fog, we caught fish. Praise God. Hallelujah. Couldn't see a thing. I don't even know how the fish could see that line. But sometimes you got to have fish vision. Hallelujah. I want to have him in the boat.